Well, announcements. Tuesday, Ladies Fellowship, 6 o'clock at the Fellowship Hall this Tuesday. And then, a couple Sundays from now, December 20th at 11 o'clock, we'll have one service that Sunday. It'll be evangelistic service. And Children's Church will be doing a program, and then we'll incorporate some, there'll be singing in that, there'll be a program, there'll be an evangelistic gospel sermon, and that'll be December 20th, Sunday, 11 o'clock. And I forgot to announce this morning, the Christmas party is December 19th. Oh, that's right. You announced, that's why. That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's right. That's what happened. Yeah, so, well, that's why I forgot, because I never announced it. I didn't announce it. I actually did not announce that. So, going back to my original point, I did not. Five o'clock. No help. Let's go. Jeopardy. Da, 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 da. What is 5 o'clock? All right. All right. Matthew chapter 2. So this year we're doing for December up until right before Christmas, covering 10 either people or things that surround the birth of Jesus Christ. And I think this is the fourth sermon in this. And we're talking about the wise men and some Christmas wisdom, what made them wise. I know we've covered this in a certain way before, but every year get a little more or a little different take on some of these things. But ultimately, I mean, it's wisdom. These men are called wise by God. And Matthew chapter 2, we'll just read our verses here, starting in verse 1. And the people we're looking at are the wise men here. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judah. For thus it is written by the prophet, Thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." That's a lot of joy. Rejoiced with exceeding great joy. "And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that he should not return, they departed into their own country another way," so on and so forth. That's the end of the wise men. So they show up, and you got the story here. This is where they appear in the Bible. Is the only place they appear in the Bible, and that's their story. They show up from the east. They bring treasures. They look for the King of the Jews. And then they leave a different way than they came. So we're going to talk about the wisdom of these men. But let's pray first, and really dig into the wisdom that these men had here. But let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. Those that are watching, I pray that you'd bless them and really that you'd feed your flock. You called these men wise men, and there's several things about their lives and their behaviors that are admirable and worth noting, and obviously they're worth noting because you noted them, and things we could be encouraged about. And so I pray that you would encourage us and help us tonight, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the wise men, you know they're a common feature in the manger scene and nativity scene and all that. And here's a few things about them that are kind of passed down, myths, or at least they're not said here in the Bible. One of them is that the wise men were at the manger scene, and they weren't. They weren't there in the manger. When they show up, Jesus is a young child, and they're in a house, apparently. And so they don't really appear at the manger scene. The shepherds do, but not the wise men. Second, the fact that there's three of them, you're not really told how many, it's just wise men, but they bring three gifts, and I think that's where the three comes in. But you don't really know how many there are, maybe a whole entourage of people, but maybe two of them, I don't know, but that idea that there's three doesn't really show up here in the Bible. And then the other thing is that they were kings, or held some sort of political office, or held some sort of titles or something representing another country, and that's not really there either. They don't really, it's not said that they're any sort of kings or they're political officers of any sort. They're just wise men. And I think it's really, really interesting. We've been doing this in Sunday school a little bit. I try to highlight these things because I feel like we don't have an appreciation of maybe what was, like we're talking about this morning, what was known in the Old Testament and things like that. But the fact that these men show up and leave wherever they're from, obviously they had to travel a long ways, and you know that any sort of traveling that requires a good deal of planning, especially if you're gonna travel like these men traveled, that's a lot of planning. And so wherever they came from, wherever it was in the east, these men had enough confidence in what they understood of the scriptures to leave whatever they were doing in the east and travel for days or weeks or months. I don't know how long they traveled, but obviously they traveled a good way, and leave whatever they were doing because they were confident enough in what they understood about the King of Israel and the Messiah being born. They had enough confidence in that to leave what they were doing and travel to Jerusalem, and with no promise that they would ever find the Messiah. I mean, they just wanted to go see this king. And so that's kind of the first point in all of this, the wisdom of these wise men. And it's really when Matthew writes this and puts this together, and really the Holy Spirit through Matthew, It is such an indictment on Israel. Because when Matthew records this, here is the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, and not very many people in Jerusalem or Israel seem to really care that the Messiah is born. But here you have these outsiders, these strangers, who show up from a far country with enough confidence in Israel's own scriptures to show up, to abandon whatever they're doing and show up in Israel just so they may, by chance, by answered prayer, be able to see and to encounter the King of the Jews. Jesus Christ. So the first thing about their wisdom, and I think the reason, I mean, one of the reasons Matthew writes this, the Holy Spirit through Matthew writes this, these men gave up everything in their lives just so that they could have a chance to see Jesus Christ. They left everything they were doing, and they show up, they come over, they travel, like I said, it had to be at least weeks. There had to be at least weeks. I mean, they're not flying anywhere. They're traveling on horseback or camel or whatever it is. They're traveling by animal, and they drop what they're doing, and with their understanding of the scripture that they had, they travel to Israel, and with not even a promise that they're going to see the King of the Jews, they're just trying to find him. And that, they ask the right question, and here's the thing that motivates them, the thing that drives them. They ask the question to Herod, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" That's what we're looking for. That's who we're looking for. And so the wise men, number one, these men gave up everything to find Christ. And it reminds me a few chapters later when Jesus Christ says, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you." He says that in Matthew 6. He says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled." But this desire and really, again, Matthew records this instance, and it seems like every chapter in Matthew there is this unfortunate contradiction with the nation of Israel not believing the scriptures they have, while these strangers seem to keep showing up and either getting healed, or it's, you know, this, the next thing is that you got the Jairus's daughter, you got the centurion and his servant. These people are all, they're strangers as far as Israel's concerned. But there's a wide appeal among outsiders to Jesus Christ, but within his own country, there wasn't very much appeal. So these men, back to these men, they worship Jesus Christ. Their worship of Jesus Christ is of more value to them than the unknown travels ahead. I mean, when these men packed up, you try to put yourself in the folks' position in the Bible here. When they packed up to go see Jesus Christ, to go find the baby that's born, There is no certainty that they're going to find him. There's no certainty that they're going to... They don't even know where he is. I mean, they go to Jerusalem and they start asking around, "Where is he?" And so their value and their estimation of... And their faith, I just say, their faith is greater than the unknown travels that they ventured on. The unknown was not going to keep them from finding Jesus Christ, or not keep them from at least attempting to find Jesus Christ. I imagine it was probably of great personal cost to them. I mean, if you have whatever job they had back in the country that they're from, that hopefully maybe they had some kind of skill or something they took with them, but whatever they were doing to feed their families, to provide for their families back home, all that stuff got put on hold just so they could go see Jesus Christ. So their worship, their faith in Jesus Christ, their worship of him was of greater value than the personal cost to them. So they had there was an unknown, and that wasn't going to stop them. There was going to be a great cost to them to travel. That wasn't going to stop them either. There was also the time it would take to find the Lord. I mean, I don't know how long they are looking, but with all this unknown, with all the cost, you can imagine. I mean, this may not be, you know, within the next 24 hours. They're gonna look around Jerusalem. They're gonna ask around, and they're trying to find where is he that's born king of the Jews, and the time it's going to take. They have no idea how long this is going to take, but that's not going to stop them either. And they have no idea how far they're going to have to travel or how many detours or whatever they're going to have to make. I'm just saying, when these men set out, there are so many unknowns. There was a cost associated with this. But in spite of all of that, these men, resting on the information they had about Jesus Christ from the scriptures that they knew, they dropped all of that. They ventured out and they said, this finding Jesus Christ, finding he that is born King of the Jews, is of more value to us than any of these other things that may be obstacles to finding him. So the unknown travels didn't stop them. The cost, the time it took, the distance they traveled, none of those things stopped them. So the first point is simply this. These wise men were wise because they literally gave up everything to find Jesus Christ. They literally gave up everything to find Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just a whim or anything. I understand, they had some scriptures, they had some apparent understanding that Jesus Christ was going to be born at some particular time, and so they followed that guidance. Second thing is found over here in verses 9 and 10. It kind of goes along with that, but you could say the second thing is the wise men, they have the joy of the Lord as their strength. That's actually a verse in the Bible in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When they find Jesus Christ, you can just imagine. After all they've been through, after what they've given up to get to this point, it has to be a time of great rejoicing, as the Bible says. Look in verse 9. The Bible says, "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." That's a lot of joy. But that came at a great cost. And there was a lot of unknowns along the way. And so when they finally find Jesus Christ, the Bible says they rejoice with exceeding great joy. And really, this has been this opportunity to see Jesus Christ, to see he that is born King of the Jews, this opportunity has been their motivation the whole time. It just let us get a chance to see this man. So the wise men, you could say, the second point is the wise men have the joy of the Lord as their strength. This is their motivating thing, the joy of the Lord. It helped them overcome the obstacles. And there were some obstacles in the way. It's what they're living for at this point, and it's their motivation. This is the thing that is guiding their behavior, guiding their decisions, guiding their sacrifices, guiding everything about their lives at this point. The joy of the Lord is their strength. The third thing is this: when these men finally see Jesus Christ, They offer the famous gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that's probably where you get the fact that there's three of them, or the thought that there may be three of them, because there's three gifts. But consider this. These wise men have been carrying these things around for the sole purpose of when we find this king, These are the things we want to present to this king. The gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, and these things that they are offering are not, they're valuable. They're very valuable. So here's the third point about their wisdom. Not only is the joy of the Lord their strength, not only are they seek out Jesus Christ in spite of all the obstacles that are ahead of them. But the third thing is these men, offer things to Jesus Christ and Mary and Joseph. They offer things that meant something to them. Gold is valuable. Frankincense is valuable. Myrrh is valuable. But they brought some things that had some value. And it just reminds me of what David said. You guys probably know the verse. But when David was going to build the Lord a house, or try to anyway, and make a place for the ark to rest, he was offered this field. And David rejected the offer, and he said, "No, I'm gonna pay for this field." And the reason he said that is this. He said, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." I am not going to give God something that didn't cost me something. I mean, I'm not going to just throw garbage at God that I don't want. I'm not going to just God's going to get all my leftovers. You know, I've had my time with this, and so now, you know, I'm kind of done with it. I'll get the new thing, and then I'll give God this old thing that I got that I'm not going to use anymore. No, they give the Lord things that cost them something. Gold and frankincense and myrrh, costly goods to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the wise men are wise because they offer offerings that mean something to them. And I mean, I don't know that you could expect God to really, if it doesn't mean something to you, why in the world would it mean something to God? I mean, if it didn't have any value to you, why should it have value to God? And it's just these men, gold, that's about the highest valuable thing down here. And so gold and frankincense and myrrh. So the point is, they offer offerings that meant something to them. That meant something to them. And then this. Now, well, before I get to this last point here, I'll mention this. I don't know if this is true or not. I'll just throw it out there, and you can think about it. Maybe you can find some other verses that tie it together. When Joseph and Mary receive these gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, they've already traveled from Bethlehem. Now they're in Jerusalem. They've just been kind of traveling around because the taxation, they got to travel back to the hometown to pay the taxes. And then, anyhow, they're just traveling around. And shortly after all this, Joseph is going to be told by the Lord to get out of Israel and go to Egypt. And I don't know if this ties together or anything or not, but I wonder, when you get told to hurry up and move your family out, again, that's going to be a costly endeavor. I don't know where they got their money from. I suspect part of this came from the wise men's gifts. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And the Lord knew that was going to be needed. And so you have that narrative right before the Lord says, "Oh, by the way, the wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh," right before I told Joseph and Mary to go to Egypt and get away from Herod. So I don't know. I think it would make sense that was some of the spending money they used to, because they had to move in such a hurry. They just had to leave. So that's kind of maybe an interesting connection there. But so the wise men bring something that has value. And I think eventually it has value to Joseph and Mary, because they're going to be forced to move pretty quick. And then the last thing is this. After they meet Jesus Christ, this is kind of a devotional type idea here. But it's worth talking about. The wise men are told by God, don't leave the same way you came in. because Herod's looking for you, and he wants to know where this king is. Not so he's not interested, obviously, in worshiping Jesus Christ. He just wants to kill him with all the other babies, or all the other children there. So in verse 12, the Bible says, "And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way." Now here's the devotional sort of a material you can get from this. After these wise men meet Jesus Christ, they leave a different way than they came. So they meet Jesus Christ, they offer the gifts, all that kind of stuff, they worship Jesus Christ, and just like in church, in Bible, the Lord gives you and I information. I think Brother Hoffmeister said the other night, but the Lord gives you and I information for the purpose of transformation. It's not just information for information's sake. It's information for the point of changing and correcting and guiding and pursuing good works in life and pursuing good things and doing the right things. But God gives information, he doesn't just give it for information's sake. He gives information for the purpose of transformation. So just as a little kind of a devotional thought, I understand they're not like, what you could say, it's not like a whole repentance and turning around sort of thing here. But it is kind of a neat little nugget here that when they meet Jesus Christ, the last thing that's said about him is they leave a different way than they came. And so they're obviously trying to get away from Herod and not let Herod know where they are. But it's just like church. It's just like I said, like Bible reading and Sunday school and all the things we do here. And the purpose is transformation. The purpose is not information. You probably know of people or know people, or maybe you are people, or maybe I know I am, and I've been this way. Particularly when you start learning the Bible, you really think your knowledge of the Bible, or at least what you think is knowledge of the Bible, is sufficient to you know, it's just everyone should be impressed with that kind of thing. And I think sometimes independent Baptists have a bad case of that stuff, where it's just like, well, we know the Bible and you don't know the Bible. But it doesn't really, again, it doesn't really matter if you know the Bible if you don't do the Bible. And so the point again of the information, knowledge puffeth up. The point of God giving you light is so that that light will turn you from darkness and help you and guide you in serving Him. So back to these wise men. They're wise because they leave a different way than they came. So a few things about these wise men. What made these wise men wise? Number one, they gave up everything to see Jesus Christ. I mean, literally, these men gave up everything they had to see Jesus Christ. Number two, the joy of the Lord was their strength. That was what motivated them. That was what guided their decisions. That was what directed their path. Number three, they offered offerings that had value to them. They didn't just offer God just the leftovers, you know, when we're done with this, we'll go ahead and give it to God or whatever. They offered God things that meant things to them. And lastly, they leave a different way than they came. They see Jesus Christ and they get out of there in a different way than they came. And so those four things really are very instructive and helpful and show you why. When God says these are wise men, I think those are some of the reasons why he says that. These are wise men because here's how they behave themselves. Here's what they did. And here's why God's testimony of them is that they're wise men. Remember, this isn't really something that This is God's, put it this way, this is God's testimony of them. God said, these are wise men. And this is how they acted. And it's a very, very convicting thought to think they had, you could say, they had less information than you and I have now. Maybe they did, maybe they did. I mean, they didn't have a New Testament. They had an Old Testament, or at least part of an Old Testament, enough to know that Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, was going to be born at a certain time, and that was enough for them to drop what they were doing and go see where is he that's born King of the Jews? We got to go see him. We got to go see him. So those are some things I think that make these wise men wise. Let's pray. Father, I pray it's been helpful. And I thank you for your words. I thank you for giving us your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I thank you for righteousness, for peace, for hope, for joy in the midst of all the stuff going on. Lord, thank you so much that you are a rock, and we can build a life on you. And pray we would be like these wise men that did several things that were, in your estimation, wise. And I pray we'd be like them in our own lives. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're just